It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Today, Cody Rasmussen is back with us from Desire Lines Wine Company.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and the great Megan Klein of Gust Wines. We're celebrating the third anniversary of
Petaluma Gap
AVA. Okay, that's very cool. The guy across from me is Don Berger. Wait a minute.
He's close.
Let me check my notes. No, it's Dan Berger, and we always open the show now with a wine from his vast wine cellar that has 23,000 different bottles of wine. Oh, and Barry Herbst is with us, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn. Bear, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing?
Okay. Okay, so what is this out of your wine cellar?
The first wine of the show every week is going to be from my cellar. And this one is a 2011 Sauvignon Blanc, Quivira, Q-U-I-V-I-R-A. They're up in Dry Creek Valley in a great, great location. And I bought some of this wine when it first came out. I am in love with this wine. I'm down
it's
to one bottle.
It's spectacular.
It is unbelievable. And the 2011. Reason is it's from 2011, a cold, cold year. And the wine had perfect storage in my cellar, so at 55 degrees. And this is it. This is perfect. This is what you want on a Sauvignon Blanc. You drink them up when they're on. They get released. They go into Bottle Barn. You go buy it. You take it home. You drink it.
Wow.
And it's gone. Buy more. Buy
wow.
four, buy four or five bottles and put them in the cellar.
Megan, your thoughts on this?
I love how bright it is.
Hold on. My producer has left the building, so your mic's not on. Let's see if Cody's mic is on. Cody?
Yeah, it's great. Megan was saying, the cut is fantastic, like really bright and citrusy, really nice flesh, and feels like it hasn't aged a day.
Oh, and the finish.
Oh, the finish, is that's the secret.
Oh, man.
The flavors are like... It's lemon, grass, and a little trace of olive, and then maybe a little hint of kiwi, underripe kiwi. I mean, this has just got everything going for it.
Megan's mic's not on.
It's still a bargain. I think they haven't raised the price much probably since 2011.
What do you think it might be, Barry?
I think we're $15, $16.
Stay on your mic,
please.
Oh, my
goodness gracious. Yeah.
You've only been doing this show for 20 years.
Are you sure the mic's not moving?
No, your mic's on. You're just not speaking into it.
So $15 or $16 for something like this, this is like a steal.
Yeah.
Because this wine, look, Hugh Chappelle is the winemaker out there, and Hugh has been doing this for a long, long time. He's in the industry for many years, and he knows what good acid is all about. This wine is all about how the acid plays with the fruit component. The fruit component has simply gotten better as time has gone by. It's more complex, maybe a little less fruity, but more aromatically interesting because it has that trace of herb, a trace of almost lemon verbena, and then the little trace of olive in the aftertaste.
Verbena.
It's a herb.
They're playing Friday at Hop Monk. One of my favorite bands.
Yep.
So you don't have the 2011 at Bottle Barn, do you?
No, we don't keep.
Well, whatever the current release is, go buy it and if you're interested in how Sauvignon Blanc develops, and let me tell you, they can go 20 years. If you are interested in that, you buy a Quivira or a Dry Creek Vineyards Sauvignon Blanc and put it in the cellar put it just down for 2 years or 3 years and see what happens. These things are just... Tell me about it, Cody. Tell me. You're shaking your head yes, so that's good.
Yeah, I think they're all organic now, too, which, like Klein, their farming practices are really top-notch.
Yeah.
Really
nice.
This really is spectacular. This is the best wine you've brought from your cellar in a long time.
Steve would like to order a case.
I'm down to one bottle. Come on.
I love it because you just want to keep coming back to it. Leaves you wanting more. It's absolutely delicious.
And food-wise...
Oh, perfect.
The mind wanders.
Oh, yeah. Oysters, lobster tail, whatever. All right.
Goat cheese pizza.
Goat cheese pizza. Oh, gracious.
Mike, we have any Maine lobsters left in the cellar?
Ooh.
Yeah, bring some up, will you? And Mike? Microphone? Thank you.
Okay. There you go. Come on, mic issues.
So we're really thrilled that we're talking about Petaluma Gap here, because this is going to be one of the greatest appellations in the county. We already have several appellations that are great already, not mentioning, you know, Sonoma Valley, Bennett Valley, Alexander Valley. You know,
yeah, okay, you don't have to run them all.
All right. But this one is really destined to be fabulous, and the difference is that the vast majority of the wines are going to be Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. There will be some others, which we will explore later in the show. But for right now, it's Chardonnay and Pinot Noir. And the Chardonnays that I'm seeing have already begun to display characteristics that are somewhat identifiable, which is not the usual case. Chardonnay is a tricky grape and often gets pulled and twisted out of shape. But in this case, you're starting to see aromatics that are identifiable. So,
Megan,
shall we pour some Gus Chardonnay? So we are pouring.
But talk about the Petaluma Gap AVA.
Absolutely.
3 years now.
Yeah. So I think what really defines the Petaluma Gap is the wind. That's the big difference of this AVA. So the mountain ranges run east to west, not north to south. So it acts as this funnel that pulls in the cool air from the Pacific Ocean, and it just really extends the growing season. So that means the fruit is hanging out there longer. You're getting the really great development of flavor, but you're maintaining that acidity because it also has that really foggy early morning fog that comes through. So really, really a special AVA.
And that works good for Chard.
It especially allows the winemaker to push the envelope in various different directions, because you're not going to lose the wine. The acid's already there. So once you have the acid, now you've got a slate that's somewhat blank and allows the winemaker to do some more playing with the grape without any risk of losing it. Well, that's my take on it.
Well, that's what
I love this wine.
You're here for your take.
Well,
so that sounded like an apology. I'm sorry, Steve. That's just my take. No, you're Dan Berger.
Well, I think if you taste these wines, and one of the reasons why Petaluma Gap has flown under the radar for the last several years, number one is it's only 3 years old. Number one, so we actually haven't seen the name Petaluma Gap on labels until about 2 years ago. That's the beginning. The second part is that the Chardonnays tend to be very, very difficult to make in any quantity, because you really are looking at small lots that make up the most distinctive wines. And by small lots, we're implying higher quality, therefore higher price. And so these are really not easy to get your hands on, because they're pretty expensive, generally speaking. What's the price on your
So this Chardonnay retail is going to be $30. Yeah.
That's not terribly expensive, considering the quality. This is really good wine.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much.
Go ahead.
No, it's really lovely. Like the nice richness to the barrel work as well done.
Thank you.
Just arrived at Bottle Barn today.
Really?
Chardonnay and Pinot, yeah.
Exciting.
What year is this again?
This is the 2018 vintage.
Okay. Megan, talk about Gust Wines, the history, and
absolutely.
And it'll tie it into the third anniversary of the Petaluma Gap AVA.
Yeah, so Gust was born in 2017. My sister and I, you know, we grew up in Sonoma. We're part of the second generation at Klein Family Cellars, and, you know, Klein is so well known for making Zinfandels and Big Reds, but we were always really drawn to this cooler climate. And we were lucky enough, my dad had planted vineyards in the Petaluma Gap before it was the Petaluma Gap, in the mid to late 90s. Oh. So there are these amazing vineyard sites, they're all organically farmed, but at that point in time, everything had really gone into bigger blends. So we just saw so much potential in these vineyard sites to really kind of focus in on the best blocks, the best orientations, the best rows, even, that we thought could make really, really spectacular wine, really show off the Petaluma Gap. And I think we did that. We're super excited about
it. And I love the name, Gust.
Yes.
G-U-S-T, Gust Wines, because it's the Petaluma Gap.
Exactly.
All about the wind.
I found out something the other day. I was talking to Cheryl Quist, who is the executive director for the association, and one of the points that was made was very interesting to me, is that the winds do gust, but in unusual ways. They go from one side, then they come from the other side. And so they basically swirl, and which means that instead of hitting just one side of the leaf structure, they hit both sides of the leaf structures. And that means that the vines will really take on a vintage personality from year to year to year. That, to me, that's
fascinating. Yeah. Megan, are you the winemaker?
No. So we work with Tom Gendel, who I know has been on this show before.
Yes, yes.
And my sister and I really guide the winemaking style and talk to him about what we like. I feel like I'm much more intuitive when it comes to wine, and he takes care a lot of the technical side of things. So we're so lucky to work with him. He's such a skilled, like, amazing winemaker.
This Shard, Dan, I've fallen in love.
It's distinctive.
Well, what I like about it most is the fact that it is more subtle than ostentatious. To me, the ostentation of Chardonnay is for people who are looking to use more oak and more explosive.
Buttery.
Yeah, buttery, richer, maybe a little bit more of the tropical fruit notes. There's some tropical here, but it's very subtle. And what I like about it is that it carries through in the aftertaste. The aftertaste is just absolutely spectacular because it's so... The first thing you think of it in the aftertaste of this wine is, what food do I put with it?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's got a lot of creamy richness, but it's very understated. It's there, but it doesn't take over.
Yeah.
Is that lobster ready?
Mike, how's the lobster doing?
So these are all vineyards in and around Klein, or?
Yeah, so they're all within the Petaluma Gap. So we're taking fruit from two different vineyards, our Catapult Vineyard and our Diamond Pile. And Diamond Pile is a little bit more west, so it sees more of that cooler marine air, where Catapult is a little bit more east, so it's a little bit warmer. So we're kind of balancing those two sites to come up with the perfect. So you're getting some of that freshness and then also some of that richness, so kind of balancing.
So, Megan, talk to folks who are listening who aren't familiar with the Petaluma Gap AVA. Exactly where is it? And
I don't know if I'm great at,
it's all over the place, right?
You just got to follow the wind, basically.
Yeah, follow the winds. Yeah.
If you look at a map, the wind really comes off of South Bodega Bay. I mean, it's really from south of Bodega Bay. Then it goes what I would call east, although it's somewhat east south.
And so it's taking a right turn, basically.
It takes a right turn, and then it goes all the way down to San Pablo Bay. And in various spots, the wind is heavier or less, depending on the spot you're in. There's another spot down there off of Adobe Road that's called Gap's View Vineyard. It is not in Petaluma Gap, but they do get slightly similar characteristics with their Pinot Noirs down there, and they're calling it Gap's View Vineyard. So it's not really Petaluma Gap, but it's close enough, and they're getting some of that wind. And that wind is really special. By the way, compare this region, incidentally, to Santa Lucia Highlands, which is also a windy region. But in the Santa Lucia Highlands, the wind doesn't swirl. It goes from north to south, and that's it. And here, you're getting the swirling winds. And then, of course, then there's the Russian River Valley, which doesn't have much wind as much as it has fog. And that's a whole different climatological issue.
Megan, how many wineries are in the Petaluma Gap right now? Do you know? I mean, you don't have to give me an actual number.
I don't know. I don't know off the top of my head, but there are some amazing producers within the Petaluma Gap. I know Keller is one of the wineries that is located within the Petaluma Gap, and they're awesome.
All right. Cody Rasmussen, Desire Lines Wine Company. Dude, explain that.
Yeah, that's right. So it is, in the same way, Megan's from hometown. My wife and I are actually from Iowa, so we named the brand, even though we're rooted in Sonoma, for the paths that we took that we blazed from Iowa. And then those same paths that take us all over the state as we look for fruit.
They make much wine in Iowa?
Not a whole lot.
I wouldn't think so.
California's pretty nice.
Had some really good fruit wines from there.
Yeah. Actually, your fruit wines are spectacular. Yeah. They come out of our competition.
Yeah. Little Amana, was it?
Yeah. So the company, what is it you guys do? Because, you know, Desire Lines Wine Company, it doesn't sound like a winery.
A whole lot of driving. Drive to vineyards all over. But one of the reasons we like the best is the Petaluma Gap, the first vineyard.
Get closer to that mic, if you would. You can move the...
Lean on into it?
The mic, yeah.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. One of the first vineyards we ever worked with was Griffin's Lair. And it kind of feels like home to us. We particularly like, as Megan was saying, the winds are so amazing. The way the vine reacts to it is they will literally stop transpiration. They stop photosynthetic ripening in response to the wind, which slows things down, keeps acid, like Dan was saying. And you end up with smaller clusters, smaller berries, smaller canopies. It's really cool.
Right off of Lakeville Highway, right?
Yep, yeah.
I always try and figure out which one it is when I'm driving down.
Goes by fast.
Yeah, there's a lot of vineyards on that hillside. So,
but one of our favorite vineyards.
Yeah, always good.
Yep.
Very cool. 522, it is the California Wine Country Show with Dan Berger, Cody Rasmussen of Desire Lines Wine Company, and Megan Klein of Gust Wines. We're celebrating 3 years of the Petaluma Gap AVA. And talk about the Klein situation, because I'm a huge fan of the Klein wine.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I mean, Klein has been around since 1982. My dad started Klein in 1982.
Wow.
Moved to Sonoma in 1989, I believe. And like I was saying earlier, mostly known for our Zinfandels, but also a lot of our Rhone wines. My dad was one of the original Rhone Rangers. And I've been so lucky to work with my family. I've been working there now for the past 6 years. And like I said, we have three vineyards in the Petaluma Gap, and that's where we make, you know, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, but we also grow some fun stuff. We grow some Sangiovese out there for Jacuzzi Family Vineyards, which is across the street from Pine. We grow some Viognier, Pinot Gris. I mean, a little bit
I'm
of everything.
I'm surprised how many. Your dad was on here a few weeks ago. I didn't realize how many. I think you have three or four Viogniers just to start with.
Yeah.
He's
pretty
a big,
spectacular.
Yeah. Big Rhone guy.
Yeah.
He's an amazing dude.
Oh, yeah. He's fun.
And he's done some amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can't miss the olive oil, so that's another story. Go out to see the clients and do all the olive oil.
In the
oil.
Museum of the Missions.
Yes.
It's your mom's project, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on.
Let's
say that. Never a dull moment. Exactly. One of the things I like best about working there is no 2 days are ever the same. So it's great.
Love it.
It's like this show.
Yeah.
So you have a Pinot Noir over there?
What was that?
You have a Pinot Noir.
I do not have a Pinot. I have a Syrah. I think we both brought. Oh,
you both brought Syrah.
Yeah.
Okay. Baldwin's got the Pinot.
Okay.
I could have brought it.
That's another story.
Yeah, Barry, talk about the availability of all the stuff we're talking about at Bottle Bar.
Yeah, I think I've got. I don't know. Do I have all your wines, Cody? I haven't kept up.
I saw the Full Ranch today. I don't know about the
Riesling
Griffins.
Yeah, Riesling and Syrah.
Yep.
And then I've got both the Gust wines. All three Gust wines.
And a lot of Klein.
Tons of Klein. I can't keep track of all the Klein.
Make a lot of skews.
Yeah.
It's Megan Klein of Gust Wines and Cody Rasmussen of Desire Lines Wine Company.
Yeah, sure.
And we're celebrating the third anniversary of the Petaluma Gap AVA, California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, is here. Cody Rasmussen of Desire Lines Wine Company and Megan Klein of Gust Wines. We're talking about the third anniversary of the Petaluma Gap AVA. Let me read this from the website. In the mid-1990s, half a decade after the Klein Winery was established in Sonoma, at the time, nobody was looking at this area, the Petaluma Gap, for vineyard development. It was considered too cold. But having had success growing grapes in the Chile Caneros district, our father, Fred Klein, planted a dozen different varieties. Pinot, Chardonnay, Syrah, Merlot, Malbec, Sangiovese, Mourvèdre, Roussan, Viognier, Pinot Gris, and Gewürztraminer, which happens to be the name of my attorney's wine, my attorney's law firm. Is what I was trying to say.
I thought you were going
to
say my attorney's wife. I was like, what?
No, that's the name of my attorney's law firm. It's a pretty amazing story. And with us today is Cody Rasmussen of Desire Lines Wine Company and Megan Klein of Gust Wines. We're talking about the third anniversary of the Petaluma Gap AVA. Dan?
I am,
wake up, Dan.
I am. No, I'm just taking notes. I am in love with this appellation. Part of the fascination for me is that I believe all those grape varieties you just mentioned, Steve, all of them, in my mind, cool climate varieties. There's one warm climate variety. It's called Cabernet Sauvignon. All the rest of the grapes in this world are cool climate varieties as far as I'm concerned. And the reason partly is that too many people are making wines that are voluptuous, and that doesn't excite me when it comes to preparing them with food. Voluptuousness is nice to have in some things.
But it kind of overtakes the food.
Yeah, it does. And typically what happens is that you end up drinking the wine as an afterthought or as a thirst quencher. That's not what its purpose is. Its purpose is to help the food taste better. And if you don't have enough acidity, then the wine is not doing that. It's, in fact, it becomes sort of an aberration. So that's why when Fred put all this stuff into the soil, that now, admittedly, Fred had a long history of planting his grapevines in a hot climate originally, out in the somewhere in the east,
Contra Costa
County, in the sand desert out there, and so he was pretty well aware of how warm climates produce you a very uninteresting variety of flavors with certain varieties. So with Petaluma Gap, you have the opportunity to do almost anything you want to. I mean, even Cabernet will grow out there. And we think we may even have an opportunity to try one. So this one we're tasting right now is a 2018 Desire Lines Syrah, and it's made in a slightly different style. Cody, could you explain that style?
Yeah, I can chime in there. So the vineyard being very windy tends to give us really small clusters, pretty high skin-to-juice ratios, and a pretty long ripening cycle, a lot of acid. So in the winery, we can actually use a little bit more stem than we otherwise might in the ferment, meaning we just throw whole bunches into the fermenter and get some really cool textural and aromatic effects from that, a little more spice, a little more freshness in the palate sometimes. And then
the pH.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, so the potassium in the stems will buffer out a little bit of pH, but knowing that it's an acidic site, we can lean into that a little bit for texture.
That's it.
And then we just put it to neutral barrel and let it rest for 15 months and put it to bottle. It's pretty simple after fermentation.
What's really interesting about the wine to me is that it's got a combination of textures. Now, forget aromatics and flavor, because those are different. But the textures, it's partially Syrah, partially Pinot Noir.
Sure.
And partially a little teeny bit of Cabernet almost, because there's a grip here, a little bit of a grip. It's not much. It's not austere, but it's perfect to go with food.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Megan finds, but we usually think that Petaluma Gap sites tend to be fairly tannic because they have such high skin-to-juice ratios.
Yeah.
It can be a challenge with a lot of opportunity there, too.
Absolutely. We find the same thing. It's that wind.
Yeah.
And imagine they'll age terrifically, too, because of that.
So far, they seem to.
And this is from Griffin's Lair?
Yep.
And
beautiful vineyard.
You really like that vineyard.
Love it. First one we ever worked with. Yeah, it's on Lakeville, about a mile and a half before the raceway, if you're heading south towards that three-way stoplight.
Cody, talk more about, reiterate Desire Lines Wine Company.
Desire Lines, yes. It's a wine brand.
Because people are going, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah, so we sell most of the wines to the mailing list. The wine brand itself is housed in Bedrock Winery, which is my day job. They're kind enough to give us a dark little corner to make our wines.
Okay. They've been in before. They're happening.
Morgan and Chris are amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we'd make the wines there, sell the wines to the mailing list. Lucky to have some really great vineyards that take us all over the state. So a lot of driving, but we love what we do.
Wow.
Yeah, they actually get a lot of fruit from Contra Costa County as well.
That's
so
right.
We have that in common, which is really, really cool.
Same effect of wind out there, where even though it's a relatively warm area, you get really low pHs because the wind slows transpiration and slows down the ripening curve. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
And, of course, for those of you who are not geeks, low pH equates to high acidity.
There we go. Yep.
Well, and again, explain the acidity thing, because when you say acid, all I can think of is college.
Well, that's a whole different ballgame, Steve.
I know.
Well, no.
I understand. I'm having a flashback right
now. Well, acidity and pH are somewhat linked. It's possible to have a high pH and a high acid at the same time, and low and low and so forth. But acid is measured slightly differently than pH. And if you've got a high pH and a low acid, the wine is pretty much finished. You drink it up right away. Chill it down, even if it's red wine, and get
like
rid
sangria.
Of it. Yeah, sangria, there you go. Because the high pH and the low acid equate to a wine that smells and tastes slightly sweet. And that's not what you want in a dry red table wine. So what we're looking for is a balance of acidity and a balance of pH. And those are the numbers that the winemakers have to be very cognizant of when they're harvesting. You can't really go in and make an adjustment once it's in the winery. Once you're in the winery, 98% of the stuff is finished. You're at the mercy of what Mother Nature gave you.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Numbers aren't destiny, but they're really important, and pH in particular drives a lot of the chemical reactions that happen in wine from that point forward for the rest of its life. It's an important number.
Hey, Megan, is the Petaluma Gap folks, are the Petaluma Gap folks celebrating the third anniversary of becoming an AVA? Is Gust Wines doing anything, and are you guys open for outside tasting?
So we don't have a tasting room yet. It is in the works. We're hoping to open something out near Greenstring Farm, so right in the heart of the Petaluma Gap. But
right on.
We will see as that develops. And Petaluma Gap did do a great virtual event for the third anniversary. Dan Berger hosted it, and it was awesome. Tasted through three different wines. And, yeah, I would say to everyone, just go out there, follow Petaluma Gap on Instagram for sure. It's just at Petaluma Gap. So you can keep up with all of the upcoming events or virtual stuff that they're doing. They're always doing some fun, exciting thing.
So you got another Syrah there.
Yeah, Megan has one here.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go for that.
Fun to taste the two.
Because these vineyards are probably, what, 2-3 miles apart?
Yeah.
Have that about right?
Yeah.
They're not far.
Exactly.
Petaluma Gap's also done a barrel at the last two Sonoma County barrel auctions. I was lucky enough to get one of them, the men's version.
Nice.
I got outbid on the women's version, apparently. But we're selling that in the shop right now. It's five wineries that came together. Klein was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they put together their best lots into this barrel, and we had kind of an exclusive on it, so... It's another fun thing they do.
Keep in mind that Bottle Barn is open for in-store shopping 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day. You can also place an order for curbside pickup, bottlebarn.com, and they can also ship wine to most states. Just go to bottlebarn.com, and they are a proud sponsor for a long time of this segment, California Wine Country. Every Wednesday on The Drive, you can find out what's new and special at Bottle Barn.
Best store around.
Thank you.
Agreed. Could spend hours in there.
Dangerously so.
This, you were in there tonight, actually.
Yeah, I was.
This Gust...
No, there's nothing like them.
Oh, my God.
I don't think in the United States, let alone in California or Sonoma County. They're amazing.
Yeah, we're pretty unique. The music's pretty good, too.
And, of course, beer and spirits and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dan?
I think this new version of 2018 Syrah from Gust is fascinating because it has an aromatic that kind of reminds me of a colder region than even yours, Cody. It's almost feral. in a very positive way.
Yeah.
This is
feral.
Feral. This is the rustic.
Talk about feral cats earlier.
They're playing at Hop Monk on Saturday.
The Hop Monk people are on top of this.
You know, when you hear feral talking about wine, it doesn't quite commute to most of us.
I would say like wild herbs, like
yeah, this is wild, this is like walking through, this is like walking through a forest after a rainfall. I mean, it's just it's got that.
It's also very juicy,
muddy underground, and
I love that.
I find Cody's to be a little more European, a little more restrained and earthy, and this is a little juicy and got that wild forest floor.
Yeah, but this is not a shy wine. This is the one that wants to hit you on the head, except it doesn't know where what part of your head you want to be hit on.
Yeah, I totally agree, Barry. I think it's really fun to try these two side by side because it really shows you the range of wines that the Petaluma Gap can produce.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that more earthy version, that more like old world style, and then in this cool climate, you're able to get these Syrah grapes ripe, which is really hard. These are some of the last grapes that we pick and bring in. But it's still showing that really nice kind of like development of fruit.
So is Syrah tough? Is that a tough grape to deal with?
Yeah, it just takes a little bit more time to ripen up for sure.
Okay.
And then in the winery, you run the risk of this thing going into a very difficult state because it wants to go bad. It wants to turn sour on you. And the winemaker has to be extremely careful with how they treat it at the winery. If you give it too much air or too little air, it goes funky. And this one is
volatile, easier than other varieties.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Brett goes crazy. In this case, the wine is really very much like a Northern Rhone in some respects, but it's not quite all the way to Cote Rôtie, but you're getting close.
And Crozes Hermitage.
Yeah, if somebody told me this was not an American wine, I would guess that this is probably from a cold region of Northern Victoria in Australia.
Wow.
Really?
That's a really big compliment.
Yeah, it is.
That's a beautiful wine. And I think the most important thing about the two Syrahs is that they represent different styles. I have friends who don't drink Syrah at all. Their history with Syrah is, I just never have found one I liked. These they would like, but it's getting over the hump of having had some bad ones in the past. Yeah. So hot climate Syrah is not for most people.
It's got an identity crisis. I think there's such a range of styles and flavors, people can't count on what they're going to, unless they know that particular winery.
People who listen to this segment all the time have asked me many times, what's the difference between Syrah and Petite Syrah?
Petite Syrah is typically, they're related indirectly. They're different grape varieties altogether. The one is called Pellerson. And it's from France. And it is really, in France, it doesn't produce much fruit simply because it's a continental climate. We have a Mediterranean climate, so it produces a little bit more aromatics here. Petite Syrah is a grape variety that you need to buy and put away until your grandchildren are ready to drink it.
So, one of them will permanently stain your teeth and the other one won't. That's the biggest difference.
And Syrah that's well made. I'm a huge, huge fan of cold climate Syrah. I got away from warm climate Syrah about 10 years ago when I visited Australia for the 18th time. I've been to Australia 23 times now in the last few years. And let me tell you, I have a lot of respect for what they're doing down there with their Shiraz. But this is really fine wine. Now, what about you have a Cabernet over
there? We do, yeah.
Exciting. I
definitely try the Cabernet.
Cody Rasmussen of Desire Lines Wine Company and Megan Klein of Gust Wines. We're talking about the Petaluma Gap AVA after 3 years.
And like anything else in the world of wine, you're going to find Cabernet planted in the strangest location. So, Cody, tell us about who planted this Cabernet vineyard in a cold region.
Some madman or madwoman. We don't know. We were lucky to find it. So the vines are planted.
Was it you, Megan?
No.
No, not me.
Okay.
Vines planted in 1999, which is fairly decent vine age, especially for when Cabernet, that's a cold place for it. It's up above Gap's Crown Vineyard, actually, so uphill into the east of Pengrove and Rohnert Park at about 1,000 feet. really rocky site on the west-facing slope of Sonoma Mountain, so kind of a mountain site, but within the Petaluma Gap.
Yeah.
We think the only reason it ripens, and it takes until late October to get there, is it's above the marine layer for the most part, so it gets sun really early in the morning.
Nice.
But beautiful site. Really glad to work with
it. That's tasty. Really
delicious wine.
Yeah. Tremendous texture,
what vintage
really
is this?
19.
This is 19?
Bottled last week.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a baby.
All right, you guys talk about this wine, because I gave my my valet and chauffeur, Raul, the day off, so I'm taking it easy here.
Okay.
Drinking coffee instead.
Well, I'll say one thing about it. The aromatics remind me of what you used to get in 1970 and 80 in Napa Valley.
Mm-hmm.
It does remind me. It has dried herbs and some spices, some very interesting Middle Eastern spices. It's very exotic. The wine is just too young to drink at all. I mean, buy this wine, put it away for 20 years. This is the way the wine is structured. Modern.
Dan, lay it down, Burger.
Well, 20 years for sure.
Young wine like this.
This is definitely
going to go. Yeah, it's leafy. It's red fruited. That rosy thing. I really love in it.
Totally. I was going to say, it has this like crunchy red fruit. It is absolutely delicious. I love that high tone red fruit on here.
I don't know if I said the vineyard's called Lee Howe Hill Vineyard.
Mm. It's great.
Named after Lehigh Road.
And tannins are really soft. They're present. I mean, it's a wine that's not, doesn't lack structure, but
this
really
reminds
soft
me of
tannins.
1981 Lake Spring Cabernet from Napa Valley. Do you remember the wine?
I haven't had it.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I have two magnums left. You want to drink one?
Yeah. Head over to Dan's house tonight when we're done.
He's got a vertical set.
Seriously, two magnums.
That's lovely.
Wrapping up this week's California Wine Country with Dan Berger, brought to you by Bottle Barn, the wine buyer from Bottle Barn, Barry Herbst, with us. And our guest today, Cody Rasmussen of Desire Lines Wine Company and Megan Klein of Gust Wines. We're celebrating the third anniversary of the Petaluma Gap AVA. 3 years.
Good
were you
one.
Guys, you know, like going, wow, we're becoming an AVA. Is that ever going to happen? Were you surprised or...
I think it was a long time coming. I know so much work went into, you know, putting paperwork in, submitting all of it. So I think we were all expecting it and super hopeful and really just excited when it finally got approved.
And how does that work? People ask me, you know, well, how do you become an AVA? I could be an AVA.
I think it's a lot of paperwork.
I hang out with Ricardo's and drink wine. I don't know.
I think, one, it's a lot of paperwork, and you have to show why this region is different. You have to show what difference does it make in the actual wine growing or grape growing and
it's a long process. Wasn't it like 5 years or something?
Something like
from
that.
From the initial submission.
But this was...
And who makes the decision, Dan?
Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco.
I mean, do you make the decision?
It's Dan,
No.
He's the gatekeeper.
TTB in this case. Tax and Trade Bureau from the Treasury Department.
Right.
And the bottom line on this is that there were very few people opposed to what you originally drew up. This really wasn't very controversial. Mm-hmm. This was really fairly straightforward. Some appellations go forever and a day, and there's lawsuits involved. But this was a really straightforward. And I think the reason was it's easy to chart where the wind goes.
Yeah.
You can see the wind. You can see the vineyards and where they're located, and it's easy to identify the spots.